your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time.
Welcome, everyone, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I am excited to be here with a good friend, Mr. Julian Guderle. Am I pronouncing that right, bro? I never know.
You're really close, man. It's Julian Guderle.
Guderle, you see?
You got it.
So, brother, thank you for being here. Honestly, a pleasure. I want to tell everybody that's listening in live right now in the collective that if you guys have questions, make sure to post them, because I want to make sure that I ask this good old beauty some of your guys' questions as well. But more importantly, I want you guys to know a little bit about this amazing individual. You know, Julian and I have become friends. We met actually here where I am at in Brazil, and then again in Tulum. But this man is a transformational leadership coach. He's a breathwork facilitator, a teacher, and a tremendous movement catalyst. He's on this profound quest to really identify what it means to show up in the world, you know, as a regenerative leader, you know what I mean? And really identify key players in that movement, right? So he invented the podcast, is it Green Planet, Blue Planet in 2017, bro?
That's right. I think 2017. It's been like year four for me. 300 episodes, regeneration, leadership and regeneration. It's my journey, man.
And within that, you've also created some programs like how you can deepen in presence, breath, freedom, scaling business, you know, and you've served people that are ready to like fully be in their practical essence of Dharma in what you and me like to call the Gaians, right? Of Gaia, right?
The Earthlings, and right?
The Earthlings, yes. And honestly, so like for me, I really love having tremendous leaders like you here. And first of all, brother, so much knowledge and wisdom that you always share with me and just love. And, you know, just even before we jumped on live, we hit record and live, just sharing so many good insights, bro. So like, you know, I really wanted to ask, because a lot of the time when I talk to beauties like yourself, you know, I really believe in us, especially on the Resilient Mind podcast, of us creating our X factor, which is oftentimes our experience that leads to our Y, which is our big Y factor, right? So is there some kind of a key moment where you decided that, listen, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to like go after it all being? Or was this like from the moment you were born, you just had this innate desire to serve Gaia? Serve Mother Earth?
That's a great question, Eric. It's not a cop-out when I say it's literally been since the moment I was born. This is a bit of private information, but I'm sharing it on a podcast. My parents keep telling me I came onto the planet literally with my like fist on my head, like a Superman move, little baby coming out of the uterus into the world, just literally supercharged to, you know, just find the reason why I'm here, find the path, be of service to the world and be of service to the people I work with. And for me, it's really about empowering and encouraging more individuals to express their unique gifts into this world. I do believe we're all born with a gift. I do believe that the process of life often de-geniuses us. This is a Buckminster Fuller quote, a little, paraphrased to serve my purpose of this share right here. But this process of de-geniusing people through the education system, through, you know, hierarchies and just this continuous way of how we're all trained to, you know, be good followers, I think it's of disservice to a lot of people. And so empowering and encouraging that genius to come back out. And when that genius is out and already playing, to continuously play bigger, dream bigger, and have more impact, that's what I'm of service of on an individual level, on the, you know, collective level, broadcasting with my own podcast, as you said, Green Planet, Blue Planet. And then, you know, I have my hands in the clay of molding reality behind the scenes in some projects where I consult that are, you know, aiming towards the future way of how we live, if that's village projects or retreat centers, et cetera.
So tell me this, bro, because I love it. And I love that you are definitely like this embodiment of Superman. There's no question. You know, I speak to that 100%, brother. And I'd love to know, when you think of like a regenerative leader, right? What is a regenerative leader and what does that mean to you?
Yeah, let me unwrap that word a little bit. So regeneration at its core is a principle of life, right? Life comes in cycles, and regeneration is an underlying cycle to all of it. Like, the process of life is directly connected to the process of death, and everything continuously cycles through this life and death rhythm. And if we look at the natural world, right, we look at the role that, for example, fungi have that are literally decomposing dead material, if it's trees or even like animals or whatever, and then from there creating soil, and from that soil birthing new plants or trees or flowers, or, you know, ultimately even, you know, how we get nourished is through the soils and what grows in the soils. So the process of regeneration, I hope this like super small example makes it visible or tactile, is a natural principle. And so leaders have two choices. They can either operate on the natural principles with organic intelligence, and therefore are leaders into a new paradigm, or we can, you know, kind of fall victim to the external world around us and just say, well, you know, in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's just business. I don't care if I hurt the planet or people. I just got to make money for my shareholders. And that is literally, in by definition, kind of the old paradigm onset of how to lead. And often that comes with hierarchies, very much that comes with patriarchal ways to, you know, govern a company or any endeavor. And so I think that that is the old way. That's the way that's ready to leave. That's the way that's still here in many ways, because we, you know, we see quite a tumultuous external world, you know, on an environmental level and on a social well-being level. But I think the path forward, it has become really clear to everyone who is consistently choosing a path forward. Now, what I mean here is a lot of people get lost in just looking at their external world and are kind of like stalled and like, well, I just gotta go do my job. But a real leader looks at all of this and comes back to their inside compass, comes back to that organic intelligence that informs them to create something that is in favor for all of life. Now, it doesn't have to be liked by all of life, but that is in favor for all of life. And so with that is an alignment with this organic principle or with this regenerative principle. And so
I love it, because I think that like what you're saying, you know, and I always share like life supports more of what supports more of life. And that's it's beautiful. It's like life and death duality, right? Like it's the duality of really the way that we're able to like, you know, co-create and coexist and elevate and collaborate. All of this is like a multitude of recognizing what's around us as well, right? And I think that, you know, we've talked about this, you know, how it's important to use that co-creation, that collaboration, that co-elevation with nature and the people around us, because we always feel like we're doing it maybe ourselves. So maybe like, if you don't mind expanding on how important that regenerative approach of doing it together rather than everybody like kind of being these separate entities and doing it themselves and feeling like this, like you said, this patriarchal experience is breaking things from being together and allowing like the flow of our feminine nature to actually co-emerge and elevate.
Yeah, let me elaborate a little bit on that. This is a great setup. So firstly, you know, again, as you said, nature favors more of nature. And the human game has been based on separation. Now, I don't want to go back to all the way why that is and which institutions and which entities have, like, you know, made that more important than, you know,
yeah, that's not our,
you get it, right? Everyone who's listening, like, in one way or other, you get that that's part of the problem on this planet. Is we are actually, we're the truth is we're one with everything, and the lie is that you're separate and you need external stuff to feel full and feel whole. And the truth of being one with everything doesn't mean we got to sing Kumbaya with everyone, but it sure does mean that when you find your alignment with what's yours to do on this planet, you will enter what Eric just called flow. You will enter a mode of creation that is supported by all of life. And so when we look back at the time where, you know, climate change and the word sustainability were really hyped, I think there's a whole big, you know, kind of greenwashing going on with that. Like, the word sustainable has been put on everything and means pretty much nothing anymore. And really, in the first place, like, what were we trying to sustain? Were we trying to just sustain separate industries that are literally exploiting the planet and people? Like, literally, right? It's not just metaphorical or in the past. A lot of our industries, if it's big pharma or big food, they're literally poisoning our planet and our people and employing lots of people in slave-like environments. This is not the way forward. That's our recent past. And so when we look at regeneration, again, it's not something that we came up with as in sustainable. It is something that actually is a principle of nature. And therefore, I believe that is, as a collective, how we represent oneness with the natural world, with the animal kingdom, with the plant kingdom. Oneness is, you know, a biological truth, a spiritual truth. And in the embodiment, it really just means we as humans know our role in the food chain. We as humans know our role as stewards of Mother Earth, as stewards of the planet Gaia. And so that stewardship doesn't come with dominating everything into death, because the current paradigm that's fading is a death culture, right? It's based on destroying everything that's in the path and then placing material objects on top of it and pretending that that's, you know, just good enough, because what we all need is more stuff to know that we're whole. But in reality, community, time with each other, silence is what lets us truly experience our wholeness, our oneness. And so from there, there's lots to do. There's lots to work. We're not done yet, right? And so that's the regenerative path. I'll give you a very simple example, Eric. Often the word regeneration gets associated with regenerative agriculture. Now, that is really good and really true, because there is a specific practice in agriculture that's called regenerative agriculture, where you use this principle of life to generate more life, more food, and more life support for all animals and plants on a farm. It's pretty much an old school approach way before the Industrial Revolution, and has a lot to do with permaculture and with letting the land and the soil and the waterways inform you which combinations of nature to kind of, you know, match with each other so that they can support each other. That's regenerative agriculture. Now, if you put this into a regenerative business or a regenerative leadership context, that's pretty much what it means as well. Is like, how can we match and bring together different puzzle pieces with different qualities? You mentioned the, like, you know, hierarchy, domination, patriarchal way, or including the feminine, the flowing, and what was formerly mistaken as weak as a strength. And when we bring those two strengths together as an individual on our inside, but also on the outside in teams and in the way we work, well, I've seen it in different projects I've been consulting, in different projects and businesses I've been building. It actually works. It takes a little bit longer in the beginning to get used to this being the new operating system, but once that's, you know, really what we trust in, now suddenly everyone comes online with their unique skills. And that's truly the world we want. Like, I want that world. I want a world where actually everyone is allowed to be in a state of homeostasis, in a state of well-being, in a state of expressing their gifts, in a state of expressing and living their dream.
I love that, brother. And I think that that's where we tap into, like, this level of having a good relationship with yourself first, because I think that, you know, presence is a powerful tool, and it's also actually something that you teach a lot. And presence of oneself, like, I really believe the relationship we have with ourselves distributes to the way the relationship that we have with our creator, the nature, the world around us. And as a result, then you have really great relationships with community and people around you. So tell me about
some of this when it comes to presence and how you're really building these foundations for people to really amplify themselves in their embodying, you know, this level of intelligence when it comes to creating coherence between the wisdom that lies in our hearts and the wisdom that, you know, we need to amplify by using this coherence from our brain to our heart, or our heart to our brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of beautiful information in what you just shared, Eric. So there is a wisdom that communicates inside of our body from heart to brain, or even from gut to heart to brain. And presence is really the core of anything we want to create on the path forward. And that core, the question becomes, where are we creating from? Are we creating from that place of information within our body intelligence, where our hara, our dantian, which is our gut basically, communicates to our heart, and our heart communicates to the brain? Because when we communicate to the external world, or when we create from that place, we're fully informed. Our power comes from a present place. Now, we'll still, you know, have to go through what we call failure, or go through learnings. That's another part of the chain. But really, the question is, where do we create from? And a not present approach often is we're creating from an external world. Oh, I saw this, someone else did this, I need this as well. Or like, oh my God, I need some more money, I just need to do something. Now, there's something fundamentally flawed with that premise, because you're never going to actually reach a full level of satisfaction or of just, you know, this surrender and trust into the principle of life when you continuously come from the outside. It can definitely work in the short term. It can definitely work for gaining material, kind of like a material superiority. But again, that's the old paradigm that's fading. So the question with presence is always, where do we create from? Is this in alignment with our body's intelligence, with our heart's intelligence, and with our mind or our brain's clever way of, you know, operating? And then when these three centers in alignment, when they're truly in alignment, and so for me, that means, you know, I do breath work every day. There's a form of meditation or chanting I do every day. This is just my personal practice. And then there's a form of movement that I do every day. Currently, because I live at the ocean here in the Pacific Northwest, I go into the ice cold ocean every day and swim for, you know, 5 to 7, sometimes 10 minutes. That gets my body moving, which allows my intuitive capacity to really reconnect, right? Same with the breath work, the chanting, and the silence. That meditative quality allows my heart and my heart's voice to become more amplified. Now, when I come from there, it's a very different place as if I just wake up and jump on this podcast interview and just like, whatever comes out, let me just say something smart. Because it's not so much about just the intelligence of the brain anymore. Presence is really the full body intelligence. And that's the individual level. Now, if we look at the collective level, full body intelligence translates to whole systems awareness. Whole systems awareness is understanding that, you know, like in the regenerative principle of life we mentioned before, everything is actually interconnected. And life has actually a pulse. The heartbeat of life is what does all this. Like, there's no president of a country or no United Nations or something else that makes the sunrise every morning. That's a natural intelligence that's operating every single day. We're eclipsing the sun, and the sun is, you know, gravitating around a black hole and then God knows what else. And that intelligence is present in all of life. It's the literal interconnection of all of life. And so from there, if you're mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually fit, you can surrender into this trust to come from your inside world, because you don't need to manipulate on the outside world. You can create something in full integrity with these principles. That's real presence. And for a lot of, you know, high-level meditation teachers or shamanic practitioners or you know, the guides of, you know, the ancient traditions, often that means they have very little to say on the outside world, because they are so in flow and sync with their own energy that they have much less of a need to just thin it out with words, because energy doesn't lie. Quiet. Energy isn't full integrity.
Very quiet. Right? Oh, except when you're like sitting in a ceremony with them and they pull out the music and they start singing. Then they're like, there's this like level of energy and intention that it just explodes out of them. And you would never notice that because they are the most silent people when it comes to just like a regular conversation, right? And it's so beautiful because there's a level of intelligence and patience and humility that I notice in these ancient tribal leaders, in a lot of ancient practitioners that have taken on this level of responsibility to really guiding.
Right.
So I can say guiding many of us. I know, like guiding you, guiding me, guiding, you know, the circles that they're in, guiding their, you know, their villages or their cities or wherever they're from. And this is their communities. And this is something that I believe that many of us can embody, right? Like we can truly do the work, you know, whether it's chanting, meditating, learning, you know, asking questions, and embodying this in our daily routine. So what would you
suggest? Let me say something to that, Eric. Yeah. Now go for your question, but I this is a good setup.
Please.
So don't forget your question then. But so what I'd love to add to this is humility, a new definition of humility. And this goes back to a program I've created with co-creators called Presence Foundations. True humility is knowing what's yours to do and simply doing that. Which includes not doing what's not yours to do. Now, most people in the modern world do all kinds of things what's not theirs to do based on the external world and the media and marketing that informs them, you're not good enough until you have this and you need that and you need this car or that holiday or this vacation or a girlfriend that looks like this or a boyfriend that looks like this. And really, that's what's so confusing for most people. And that's why we're literally not a very, you know, integrated species at this point. The integration comes through knowing what your role is. And so you mentioned the shamanic kind of examples where they're so quiet. And then when it's their role, they burst open with just like this infinite beam of love and sunlight expressed through song. And that's actually another really amazing step in our conversation here. Presence, when it is fully embodied, is nothing that we showcase by the amounts of hours we meditate or we sing or chant or dance or whatever, or take ayahuasca or whatever it may be for you. Presence then becomes a gateway to enlivened expression. And that's what the shaman does. The shaman then in this situation, in the circle, suddenly becomes the most alive being because that's his role to do. And so the question for us as individuals, you know, we don't all have to become shamans in that traditional path. But the question is very simple. What's mine to do? How can I bring presence and silence and then full enlivened action to what's mine to do?
And what's mine to do doesn't necessarily be just about getting a paycheck, right? Because I think that for myself, I can tell you is like for you know, a long time, I thought that what mine was to do was to just get money in my pocket or money in my hand, right? From a job. And that was like basically a survival mechanism that like was conditioned for me. And I had to unlearn all of this like false level of consciousness. And for me, that was like really important because I felt inside of my body, inside of my heart, like there was more. So embodying what you are meant and your role to do, what if it was exactly who we are in this current moment, who you are meant to be, and you're not taking the opportunity to fully invest yourself into this specific role that you have and embodying the intelligence that you are inherently born with this purity and essence that comes, right? So to me, it is like, it's our birthright and our duty and our responsibility to like beam the level of strength that we have with our uniqueness that you mentioned earlier and allow ourselves to not have to do the things that we don't love to do because there's a reason that you don't love doing it.
That's where collaboration comes back in too. If you're really in alignment and you're not just hiding from what you don't really enjoy doing, then there's a big likelihood that your brother or sister has you back. When you trust them, when you invite them, when you're open for that feedback, right?
I think that that's the biggest thing. And that's, I think that's something that like I've really learned more as the years have gone by. And, you know, even I remember when we met, bro?
Yeah, of course. That was a funny one. The universe is like knocking on our doors. Pay attention, guys.
Yeah. Like, I would just love to get your perspective on where you believe my head was at.
Where your head was at. Well, I'll tell the story really briefly just so people get like a little bit of a taste here before I like evaluate Eric and don't think that's really my role. It was really funny because we were both in a town called Alto Paraíso in Brazil, and we were actually neighbors, but we didn't know that. I was there for a short month. You were there for a few more weeks, and literally Eric's dog was wandering outside in the rain in the dark and ended up on my doorstep. You know, cute little white fluffy dog. And my girlfriend and I, we like, what's that? That's a dog. And then we walked out and we're like, this dog looks like it's definitely someone's private dog. And it looks lost. So we opened our door, dog literally just jumped on our couch, rolled around on the couch and was like, give me love. And we were like, yep, definitely someone's dog. And so this happened one day. And then, you know, the person who takes care of the house where you lived at the time somehow came by and found the dog and was like, hey, sorry, she ran away from us, yada, yada, yada. And then the next day, the dog came back to our doorstep and we're like, no way. We even named the dog, right? So we're like, this dog is so cute. Maybe it's meant to be ours. And long story short, on the third day, so your friend or whoever, she picked up the dog the second day again, actually. But then on the third day, the dog didn't come back. And we were missing the dog. We were literally like, where is this cute little dog? And so we walked around in the neighborhood and started knocking on people's doors and like, are you the mom and dad of the white little dog? And long story short, here I am at your doorstep, like clapping, because that's kind of what you do in the countryside in Brazil when there's no doorbell. And Eric walks around the corner, you know, just like big, awesome, handsome, like, you know, Canadian fellow. And I'm like, interesting. I was expecting someone Brazilian, but fair enough. And I'm like, so what's up? And little caveat for anyone who, you know, followed the conversation into shamanism there a little earlier. She's wearing this big ass ayahuasca emblem from like his last ceremony in Ecuador or something. As like, it was like a hoodie or a shirt or something. And this wonderful pattern. And I'm like, okay. I'm totally getting that message right before I even spoke to him. I'm like, got it. And then it was just such a beautiful synchronicity for me and my girlfriend to experience. And then this like openness in which you welcomed us into your house, that I was in full trust and surrender at this point. And I remember, Eric, you were making us tea, but you were really nervous actually. And there was like, it was almost like, there was this unspoken energy of what do these people want from me in the space? And I don't think that that's who you truly are. And that's not how I got to meet you later on, because you actually ended up inviting us for dinner. And then, you know, I got this intuition that we should probably like co-work together for a bit. And then we never saw each other again. And 2 months later, we met serendipitously in Tulum in Mexico again. So the synchronicity just continues, right? That's how juicy life is. And that's why I said that the universe knocked on our door saying, hey guys, like pay attention. But when I first met you, your energy was still trying to, you said, where were you at in your mind? So what I picked up on is you was just trying to figure out how that makes sense and what's that good for? And like, is this what I can trust? And then when I met you later on in Tulum again, 2 months later, because it was like such a big serendipity, it felt like a whole other person was just surrendered to the experience and the, you know, just the mutual respect and the mutual trust and the brotherhood that comes with it when we realize, oh, wait, let me just start paying attention now.
And I think that, thank you for sharing that, because I think it doesn't matter where we are in our path. There's always room for so much growth, because I really realized in myself that there's a lot that I don't know that I don't know that I don't even know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And
It was beautiful to connect with you again in Tulum because I felt like I like had completely allowed myself to be present. What we talked about earlier, right? Like I allowed myself to trust in myself, to trust in who I was. Whereas the first time, I think that I was still trying to prove myself. And, you know, I was proving myself ultimately to myself because like, I didn't know, you know, what the fuck I was doing. But like, how often do you think that people are regularly in these patterns where they need to prove themselves to themselves? Because I've been looking to prove myself to myself for the longest time of my life until I finally realized that I am enough. What do you think people need right now? You know, to recognize right now, especially with everything that's going on with this craziness in the world, what do you think people need the most right now to figure out or recognize the value and the worthiness that they hold innately from the moment they are born?
It's a beautiful question. And it's a journey. I want to admit that too. Like for me, that's also been a journey of this continuously understanding, like there's actually nothing. Right? There's nothing to prove. There's just to be. So what do people really need and require? Honestly, I think it's turn your cell phone off and go into the forest. If there's not a forest, then go into whatever nature there's around you and just put your bare foot on the ground, ideally swim in whatever water is close to your home, waterfall, lake, ocean, doesn't matter, river, just jump in. Please make sure that you can swim first. but you know what I mean? Like, just go out into nature and make that a new habit or ritual in your life to reconnect with the power of nature. What's going on in the world on the external level right now and the craziness of the world that you explained has a lot to do with humans trying to stay in domination of nature. Humans trying to fix the virus, fix the economic inequality, fix this or that. But really, we were the ones who created all of these things in the first place, including the diseases that we're experiencing as a collective, because, you know, the way we eat and the way we treat nature, like it has so much to do with our gut biome and with our, you know, our soil health at large. And so the intelligence is already here. The abundance is nothing we create. We don't create abundance. Coming back to my point from earlier, no person creates the natural cycles. They are simply here. We are a part of it. And so what we need most is to recognize that we're a part of it. As we recognize we're a part of it, we come back into our own power. And that's the answer to what you just said. When you're back in your own power, you're connected to the power of nature. And you, in one way or other, simply know that you're worthy. You simply know that you're here to live a life of quality experiences.
I love you, bro, because we speak so similar such similar languages, and it's like, so, you know, there's no question why the universe brought us together. And like, now, you know, we get to spend time often together just online or when we're in person or whatever, but like, and I'm certain there's going to be so much more that we get to do together. But like, I think the level of wisdom that you bring to the world is something that I am super excited for more people to discover, because you're a wizard, my friend. You know, like, you're so bright and so loving and so intentional with everything that you say and do. And it's like it's a really big breath of fresh air to have a friend, you know, a colleague, you know, a fellow leader that is doing like profound things just by being, and without thinking that he needs to prove anything, but rather just like embracing and like sharing. And I just love you so much, bro. I'm so honored.
Thank you, brother.
Thank
you. Right back at you.
Yeah, bro. It's like, you know, when we re-met in Tulum, and it was through like our mutual friend, Mr. Oren Harris. It was really nice to come together and just like, I feel like we hit it off like brothers, you know? And I think, and this is my hallucination, that we can all have this deep connection, this fast, if we actually show up in a place of true vulnerability, in true authenticity, in true recognition of the value that we innately hold. Because I think the barriers that protect us are the same ones that imprison us. And we don't allow for these beautiful connections that are possible every single day of our lives, from every moment, wherever we are in the planet, that we can really, to manifest and maybe nurture and support each other, because we're caught up in this mind to think that we are separate. And so for anybody that's listening, you know, and paying attention, you know, these are things that show up in our world every single day that we can really practice and be more loving and playful with each other. Because like, you're listening to two little boys fulfilling our dreams and like using this world, this beautiful world, as our playground. You know, you've been traveling for the past 20 years. You speak over 5 fucking languages. You know, you're amazing at, you know, breath work, yoga, chanting. You know, I've been doing it for 4, not even close to what you've been. But like, the level of frequency that we can hold together by just allowing ourselves to play again, to be playful.
Yeah.
Right? And letting down these fucking walls is what really allows the resilience to come through, because the resilience comes from your heart and not your mind. It really does. And that's what gives us strength to move forward together, bro. So before, like, you know, look, guess who's
the dog? There's the little dog for everyone who's watching the video. Oh, and through the wall. That is literally the dog that walked over and connected us. Bijou.
Bijou, what's up, buddy? Come and say hi.
This is, cool. This is like a really cool moment. Bijou is like, you guys are talking about me, right?
So, brother, tell us, you know, where is the best place to connect with you, to find out more information about Presence and some of the projects that you're up to, because everybody needs the dose of Julian. Oh, and tell us about your podcast. Actually, before we anything, please brief a little bit about the podcast, what it's about, because I know that there is so much wisdom that you share and so many leaders that have actually shared. And I'd love to know a little bit more for anybody that's listening.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for the prompt. So yeah, the podcast is called Green Planet, Blue Planet. You can find it on any of the regular podcast stations. There's also a website, greenplanet-blueplanet.com. I'm sure, Eric, you can link that out. I've had almost 300 episodes at this point, been on it for a while. It's a place where I learn through interviews, you know, and I'm in this process of inquiry, of asking questions to incredible people, really. Artists, authors, teachers, business leaders, people who are bringing change into the world by the way they show up and in the way they create in a regenerative way, in a way that is connected to nature. If it's people like, you know, recently I interviewed Louis Schwarzberg, who created the movie Fantastic Fungi. I've had on people like Charles Eisenstein and Céline Cousteau, and just amazing, amazing personalities with, you know, that level of humility. They simply know what's theirs to do and they do it. They don't dream about it. They step into that dream and embody it. And so for me, it's a way to continuously be connected to leaders like them. And it's my invitation into my ecosystem and into my universe, right? Beyond that, a really great way to be in touch with me is Instagram. So my profile is just my name, Julian Gudelai. Please link it out as well. And you know, anywhere in between. So there's a few different programs I've built. There's, you know, a breathwork course that's about to be launched, as Eric said, that's been like part of the last decade for me, different initiations that I went through, and I want to pass that on. I've created something called Presence Foundations, which is a group incubator to lead into, well, to explore the foundations of presence that then lead into an enlivened expression. And I host, you know, one-on-one coachings with different programs. Actually, there's 2 specific programs I run in the one-on-one. coaching world, and it has to do with either people that are ready to step up and build their own offer, or people who've actually already built and scaled something, but who are looking for more presence, more space, and just like this next level of embodiment. So it's quite a different approach for both of these groups, but I love working with, you know, I love working with accomplished creators, and I also love working with people who are so eager and committed that their commitment is what turns me on, actually.
Yeah, beautiful. Oh, and I'll make sure to link the information. Bro, I have a last question for you before we go.
Go for it.
If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
3 days left to live, what would I do? I would spend every single day of these 3 days with the people I love most, make love, eat good food, celebrate, party, kiss the ground, literally, pray with Mother Earth, and, you know, record my dream on video, which is what led me to do the podcast. It's like to get people to share their dreams for a seven generational path. And so a deep question, man. Thanks for asking it.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Thank you for answering. And any last words you want to share?
Just words of gratitude for you, Eric, for the way you're showing up, for the way you're in your continued journey of becoming, of evolution, of growth, of gratitude yourself, right? And so thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for making me one of your resilient minds. And yeah, maybe I'll drop in into the heart and live this resilience from an integrated, you know, heart, mind, Mara intelligence.
Oh, my brother. Lots of love to you, brother. And I can't wait to see you in person soon.
Thank you.